1990s, there was a popular song entitled A Friend Like You by a band named Jeff Moore in the Distance. He became one of my favorite. And in that song, he said these words: the Lone Ranger and Tonto, Laurel and Hardy, Batman and Robin, it was Snoopy and Charlie. Friends through thick and thin, friends through the very end. I think you would agree that that's how you and me. And that's how it's for you and me. I used to love that song, and you don't hear that guy sing anymore. And so Jeff Moore in the Distance in the 90s. Now, but he has a list of people that when you think about friends, you think about Batman and Robin. You know, we're familiar with some of the cartoons and some of the movie characters that you realize they exemplify true friendship. And I think if I were to write a song, I would add more characters to that. I would get Captain America and Bucky. I'm with you to the end of the line, pal. I mean, that's friends. I'm willing to sacrifice and kick some booties out there because of my friends. That was Captain America. You've seen the movie. I mean, it's Scooby-Doo and Shaggy. They go everywhere. You know, it's just like, I mean, friends, when you look at that, that's kind of like what friends is supposed to look like. You get, there was the Justice League was used to be called the Super Friends when I was growing up. Then you got Toretto and Paul Walker in there. And the song, It's Been a Long Time Without You, My Friend. You know, and I tell you all about Until I See You Again. Remember that. So it's a, then you get, how about Woody and Buzz? Remember at the beginning, it was a little jealousy out there, but they, through the thick and through the trials, they became close friends to the point that I need my friend to be with me. How about Sam and Frodo? Frodo said to Sam one time, Frodo will go nowhere without Sam. And you see this relationship, friendships that these people had. And I love movies and cartoons that, you know, you see that happening, that you always go back for that friend. You're willing to sacrifice and do whatever it takes for those that you consider your friends. It's interesting because if you were going through the scriptures, if you were to go through the Bible, you will find people like that you can say they were friends as well. It's interesting when you go through the Bible, perhaps you never knew that God himself, Yahweh, called Abraham my friend. It's almost like that the most powerful being will call a human my friend. But there's a title of Abraham. It says God, Abraham is entitled God's friend, not Moses or Elijah, Abraham. Interesting, in the scripture you read that about. So you can go to Isaiah 41, Yahweh talking, 2 Chronicles 27, and even James said that Abraham believed God and he was considered to him as righteousness and he was called God's friend. Can you imagine such a title? That you are a friend of God? I mean, we all hear about being servants of God and children of God, but perhaps we never heard this idea of being a friend of God. And what does that actually mean? Why was Abraham called the friend of God? Well, through the scriptures, you have so many. You got David and Jonathan. Yes, Jonathan's father wanted to kill David, but Jonathan warned David. And the friendship, I mean, David even speak about that. It's better than the love of women, he said, like, how you're my friend and we're connected, like, amazing, the story. And then you have Ruth and Naomi. Even though they were from different races, Ruth Naomi was a Jewish woman. Ruth was a Moabitess from Moab. That's how it was. Naomi was a Jew. Ruth was not. And Ruth left everything and said to Naomi, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. I mean, look at the friendship that they had together. How about when you go into the book of Daniel? Daniel and his three friends that were given the name Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego through thick and thin in the province of Babylon. They were there. Now, you see through scripture, but how about Jesus and the apostles? Have you ever considered that perhaps they were friends? Because Jesus later on says something about them, and he calls them friends. See, Jesus chose 12 disciples. He had a lot of disciples when he began his ministry, but out of those disciples that he had, He selected 12 men and he appointed them to be apostles. Apostle, the word means somebody who sent out on a mission. That would be the modern day missionaries for today. So an apostle was giving a specific instruction. So the apostles, he said, according to the gospel, Jesus called them apostles so that they will be with Jesus and so that he can send them out to preach. So many disciples, now he chose 12 and he calls them apostles. Those people walked with Jesus everywhere he went. They traveled, they spent time with Jesus for about 3 years. Jesus invested his teaching, his life, and they also invested their lives in the ministry of Jesus for about 3 years. Now, and you see, it was to the point that when you read in the Gospels, if you invited Jesus over for dinner, you had to prepare dinner for 12 other men. Because everywhere Jesus went, you remember Martha? That was the scenario. You open the door of your home for Jesus, Jesus is not coming by himself. 12 apostles would be joining Jesus. Everywhere he went, they got to see Jesus saddened by situations. They got to see Jesus rejoice. They got to see Jesus show compassion on people. And they got to see Jesus doing miracles for 3 years. Some scholars believe it might have been 3.5. But they were always with Jesus. Now, when you read the Bible, you see the Bible has a lot of imagery or metaphors that would tell us about relational metaphors. God is a relational God. And we already talked about that, the whole idea that he's the Father, so that makes us children. So you got that imagery. God is our Father out there, and his people are his kids, sons and daughters. So you have that through the Bible, relational metaphors to describe God's relationship with his people. You also have masters and slaves. Like God, Paul considered himself a slave. He says, he's my Lord. The word Lord, Elohim, Adonai, is the word there. So masters and slaves, the word for slaves, also it's translated servants. Imagery, metaphorical imagery that talks to us about the relationship between God and us. Shepherd and the sheep. Husband and wife, and that's the only, you're not going to find wives and wives or husband and husband. You're always going to be wife, husband and wife through the imagery that you find in the Bible when God defines marriage right there in Scripture. The nation of Israel is called a she. Israel is the husband, is the wife of Yahweh. And you see, there's a prophet that exemplified that to the T, and it's Hosea. So God calls, you're my bride. So, relational imagery. You also hear about the potter and the clay. You know, you might think, well, how is that relationship between a potter and a clay? I mean, you see how they really passionately, uniquely creating things. It's not just like, oh, they really invest everything they have. This imagery of the potter. Isaiah talks about you are the potter, we are the clay, and you're molding us and shaping us to be like the people you want us to become. You also have teacher and students. Now, I understand that today, teachers are not supposed to be friends with the students. Apparently, but in those days, when you were a teacher like Socrates or Aristotle, those people around you, I mean, Jesus and the apostles, he's the teacher. They call him rabbi, and they spend life together. They did life together. So you see imagery, relational imagery that we find in the Scripture. But, and then I had at the end, how about friends? Friends. I mean, sometimes perhaps we never knew that that's really in the Bible. I mean, Abraham called the friend of God and an opportunity for people to, Jesus called his disciples, you are my friends. You know, we all claim to have friends, but sometimes I think what we have really is acquaintances because, you know, friends, you see what Jesus talked to them, why he decided to give them the title friends and not servants. Why did Jesus change that title, instead of calling them students, disciples, apostles, at the end he calls them friends. John chapter 15, we're going to spend some time there. In the gospel according to John, in the 15th chapter, Jesus has been talking about another relational imagery, the vine and the branches. You need to be attached to me in order for you to produce fruit that will last, he talks about. And then he goes on to talk about, and remember Jesus had showed them and taught them about love each other the way I have loved you. By this all men will know that you are truly my disciples when you love one another. When you love like this, Jesus said to them. And in chapter 15, picking it up in verse 9, Jesus said these words, reading from the NIV, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he may lay down his life. For whom? For his friends." He said, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have heard or learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other." So here Jesus, towards the end of his ministry, he changed the titles of the apostles. He says, "Now I won't call you anymore servants. I'm going to call you friends." And I wanted to bring that message because sometimes, how many times we read the Bible and we had no idea that was there? You know, like this whole idea, Jesus decided to call his apostles friends, and he had a reason why he called them that. He started, "Remaining my love." It is by obeying Jesus' teaching that one can remain in his love. You wonder, how can you and I remain in God's love today? By doing exactly what Jesus tells us to do, by remaining in his teaching. He said, "Remain in my love." This is how you remain, by obeying my commands. And then he goes, "My joy may be in you, and that joy is going to be complete in you." Verse 11. And then he goes on to talk to them again. He said, "Love each other as I have loved you." Jesus has been with them for about 3 years, and he served them out of love. In chapter 13 of John, Jesus himself, the teacher, got some towel and a basin of water to wash the filthy feet of the disciples. And he's showing them servanthood. "Love each other as I have loved you." And then he goes on and says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." And then he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." So for us, it's like, how do you become a friend of Jesus? By really doing what he's telling us, what he's commanding us to do. He goes on and says, I no longer call you servants. So the relationship between Jesus and the disciples changed from being servants to now being friends. You see how it is. When you meet somebody, you might not let him in your life that quickly. 3.5 years, that's a lot of time to spend with somebody, walking, eating together, going everywhere together. You know, I always feel like this. First, Jesus and the apostles, strangers, acquaintances, followers, disciples. Now he's chosen to be apostles, and now he says, "You're my friends." I mean, sometimes we do the same thing when people are coming to our lives. We don't just, "You're my friend." You don't even know who they are. You have to know something about them first. And you see how Jesus, towards the end of his life, he says, "I no longer call you servants. You're not going to be a slave. I call you friends." Why? Because the servant does not know the master's business. The slave does not know what the owner, what the master, what the Lord does. But a friend should know the other friend's business. A true friend should know what's going on in that friend's life. That's what Jesus is saying. That's why I'm changing you from being servants to friends. Why? Because everything that I heard from my Father, I made known to you. I revealed that to you. So you see, we have that connection. What I learned from God, you needed to know, and I told you about. That's why, so he used that imagery of servants, and you know how it is. You don't know what your boss really is, your boss's life. He pays you, you are an employee. The relationship that you have with your boss, perhaps you become friends eventually, but you know that it's just professional type of thing. But when you call somebody a friend, it's not just professionalism there. There's a trust involved now. It's more personal. So that's what Jesus said, "I no longer call you slave because the slave does not know the master, his master's business. I call you friends because everything that I learned from my Father, everything that you need to know about God, I have made that known to you. And you are my friends. Greater love has no one than this, that he may lay down his life for his friends." Wow. amazing. You see, there are some lessons that you and I can learn from Jesus, why he called the apostles friends. True friends love sacrificially. Jesus said to them, love each other as I have loved you. And he already said, when Jesus said, a friend, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. He's already telling them, that's exactly what I'm about to do for you guys. I'm going to sacrifice my life for you. True friends sacrifice things for each other. I mean, that's how really you know who your friends are. When you see this attitude of sacrificial, I mean, love that is sacrificial, that's not just, you know, when I can. No, it's just you're there with that particular individual. So true friends love sacrificially. Jesus said to them, love each other now as I have loved you. And by this, all men will know that you're truly my disciples when they see that love that I showed you, when they see the same love in you. True friends know each other's business. Trust each other with their business. That's what you say. I no longer call you servants because the servant does not know the master's or the Lord's business. You are my friends because what I know, I told you about. I mean, if we're friends and I don't even know that you struggle with something or that you need prayers from me, I mean, what kind of friends are those? Think about that for a moment. We should know, like, you know, I have a struggle with this, and if you're my friend, maybe you're open to hear what I have to say. And vice versa. This connection, this relationship, Jesus calls the apostles, you are my friends. He said, you are my friends if you do what I command. I read a story. A preacher said this story. It wasn't in Spanish. Of a king. This king had a kingdom. And there was a man in that kingdom who misbehaved. And the king was going to kill him the next day because he violated some kind of law. So the king, that afternoon, he says, you know, you violated the law, so you're going to be dead by tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. But I'm going to grant you one wish. The man said to the king, please grant me one wish that I can go home before you kill me tomorrow, that I can go home to my wife and my kids. The king said, no, I won't be able to grant you that wish because what you want to do, you want to escape. He says, no, I have a friend that can stay here while I go. The king said, there's no friends like that. He said, no, I have a friend that is willing to stay, and I'll be here tomorrow morning. So the friend comes, and the man went that afternoon and spent the evening, the night with his wife and his kids. The king is talking to the man. He says, you know, what happens if your friend doesn't come, you're dead. And the man said, no, my friend will come. He'll be here. Watch him, king. He'll be here because when he says that he'll be there, he will be there, he said to the king. So a quarter till nine, here comes the man. You know, and the king was amazed, like, wow, like, he came right when he told him. And the king said, you know what? That's amazing. I'm going to ask you, the two of you, a favor, that you allow me to be your friends like that. That this friend was able to stay there with the king until his other friend would come. That he was able to take the place, knowing that if he did not come, he will die. And he trusted his friends. And the king finally told him, just grant me this wish that I become your friends. I want to be friends with the two of you. Because there's no friends like that, he said. Willing to sacrifice everything for that you consider your friend. No wonder Jesus said to the disciples, I call you my friends. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You see, in the story of that king, Jesus really is the one that took our place. We should have been the one condemned to death. Jesus took our place. God showed his love, the Bible says, for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's what Jesus is talking to them about. Greater love. I'm showing you what love is it's all about because I'm willing to give my life for you because you are my friends. And you know the story of Jesus. He gave his life even for his enemies. What he's talking about to the disciples. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. See, my friends, Christ died on the cross, and he went to that cross willingly. Jesus' death on the cross gave the world an opportunity to be made right with God. Jesus' death on the cross gave the world an opportunity to be made friends with God once and for all. Because you know what happened? Sin separates us from God. that when the Bible talks about sin, it says that it makes us enemies of God. Then the Bible, Scripture talks about reconciliation. In order for you to be reconciled, it's because something was broken. We were enemies of God because of our sin, and now Jesus took our place and said, now you guys can be friends again. He connected us back with the Father. He did that through His death on the cross and gave the whole world a chance to be made right with God, to be made friends with God, and not just friends, to be adopted into God's family as His children. His death, Jesus' death, put an end to the enmity that existed between God and people, God and us. He made us friends of God. But it's interesting because sometimes, you know, when we talk about our friends, we tend to think, I don't want you to just think about, oh, just like my friends, that's how God is, He's my friends. I mean, think about, God is majestic, and that you and I can have the possibility of being friends with majesty. It's almost like, to me, it's almost like, wow, it just boggles my mind that He allows me to be that. He's my creator, and I'm going to be a friend with the creator? Like a piece of clay that's going to be friend with the potter? That's the relational God that we serve, and He's given the world an opportunity to be made right with God, to be reconciled. You know why He did that? Jesus saw the need that you and I have for friendship. We all have that need. Relational need. God created us to be in relationship. The only time in the Bible that says that it wasn't good for man to be alone when he was all by himself, and God created somebody that they can be together. Relationship with God. So He saw the need that you and I have to be in a relationship with God and gave His life to make us friends of God once and for all. That word friends is the word phileo. And, you know, this whole idea, like, beloved. John, the gospel writer, is called the friend of Jesus. Because even though Jesus had 12 apostles, there are many levels of friendship. You know, Jesus had Peter, James, and John out of the 12 that He connected with those three better. Just like you might have people in church that you don't connect with everybody the same way. But out of all of them, Jesus had the best friend that you can say, and it was John. The one who wrote, and He's the one who outlived all the other apostles. It's called Jesus, the disciples that Jesus loved. And the word love there is the word for friendship, phileo, this connection that He has with Him. And then Jesus said to them, you are my friends, and I'm going to sacrifice my life for you because I love you this much. He saw my need, and Jesus saw your need, and gave up His life so that you and I can be made friends of majesty of again. It's like the songwriter, what a friend we have in Jesus. Somebody wrote a hymn many, many years ago. What a friend we have in Jesus that He is able to do all that. Even when at times we don't even want to hear from Him. Even when at times we ignore His teaching. He says, I love you this much and I consider you my friends. And greater love has no one than this, that He may lay down His life for His friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because the servant does not know the master's business. I have called you friends because everything that I know from the Father, I have made known to you. And you are my friends. I mean, amazing. So what a friend we have in Jesus. Do you have a friend like that? Because if you don't, I want to introduce you to one that will never fail you. Sometimes the friends that we have on this earth, they might disappoint you. They might say that they are with you for a while and then in time of trouble, they abandon you. This one that we have in Jesus will never do that to you. He will always be there to carry you. He will always be there. David understood it because David said, even if my mother and my father abandon me, you will never abandon me. Because, you know, that's the kind of God that we worship. And for Him to say, you can be my friend, it's just like, that's mind-boggling. So you don't know Jesus as a personal Savior, as a personal friend that you can just count on. That He's going to be there through thick and thin. Just get to know Him. Because He said, I'm going to call you my friends. And because I love you that much, that's why I'm giving my life for you. That's one of my favorite scriptures, that John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that He can lay down His life for His friends. Jesus is teaching us truly what friendship is all about. What true friends are supposed to be like. Loving sacrificially and distrust, knowing each other, each other's business. And he showed it. So I just wanted to show you that today. This whole idea that how Jesus and the disciples in 3 years, how their relationship changed. If they have Facebook accounts back then, you see that, oh, they have a friendship with somebody for 3 years. Like Facebook does that to you today. And they were just apostles. And now it's like friendship. They're friends. Now, Facebook doesn't give you that. Facebook just said, like, you're single, you're married, you're whatever. It's like, but it's like, if they had it, just bring it up to your time so you can understand. It would have said friends instead of disciples or apostles or students. Friends. You are my friends, Jesus said, if you do what I command. I want to be a friend of Jesus. I want to do exactly what he tells me to do in this life. And looking at Jesus, I can understand how to love my friends that I have, that he brings to my circle, to love in the way that he has loved me.